Hi everyone. So after the previous MLIR talk, I will continue on MLIR. So I will also be talking about MLIR, but also about like hardware architecture a bit. So a bit on the in between the two. So it's MLIR based data tiling for Ryzen AI MPU, which is about like an MPU in a laptop. So a laptop like this one. Where you have a CPU, like an integrated GPU, and then integrated like NPU. So I'll be giving an overview of like what this NPU like looks like in these laptops, how we target it, like how we use data packing to describe like copying, high dimensional copying through DMAs. And then I'll be showing like how you can map a gem in different ways to this device. And how we use MLIR to describe like this parallelization and data broadcasting through the MPU. So first an overview, the MPU is like an array of cores and memory. So we have like a 4x4 array of cores, and then we have like a row with memory tile, and then we have another row with like connections to the outside world, to like a DRAM basically. And then at the bottom we have like a microcontroller that like kind of programs and controls the device. There's different generations of it, like you have XDNA1, so AI engine, XDNA MPU, it's like all kind of the same thing. XDNA1 is the first generation that has kind of a capability of 10 TOPS on the entire array. And then you have XDNA2, which can reach up to like 50 TOPS. Your easy stops with like vector processors, which can do, for example, like 512 int 8 MAC on each tile, or for XDNA1, like 256 int MACs across the array. I'll be talking about like the XDNA1 mostly in these slides. Like the XDNA2 has like a slightly different variations, but they're like very similar. So what you can do with this is you have an array. You can offload some applications to it, AI applications, like for example, like video, audio, some content creation, some LLMs, and you can partition this array to do like multiple of these applications at the same time by allocating like columns, for example, like 2 columns to video, 2 columns to audio, and like 4 to content creation. Now, how do you program this device? We're basically generating 3 things, initial like boot PDI, core code for all of the tiles, and like microcontroller code to control like the AI, the array. In that boot PDI, you also have things like routing, for example. So the most important part about like this device and why it's like to get like power efficient computing is basically that it is like a push model in contrast to like a pull model. Like typically you have a CPU where you will basically say, I need this data, like a pointer dereference, and get your data, and somehow that data will come into the like registers. There's no such thing here. Like if you want data on like one of these tiles, you'll have to get it through there. And that's where the power efficiency comes from. And I think that's why you will see more and more of these kind of devices in like specialized GPUs and so on as well, because you can like, when you control like where the data goes very precisely, you can get a lot of like power benefits like out of it, and performance because of that reason as well. So how do you program it? Like first, the boot PDI, like you need to actually program the routes, like the routes from the outside world, like through the connections, through the like shared memory, which is the memtiles on the second row, into the AIE cores. And these routes like can go like this. You can go like vertically, like up in some column. You can go down. You can have routes between the memtiles and like between the outside world and the memtiles. And you can configure that in different ways. For example, you can have some horizontal routes, where basically here we're saying that we have some data that is shared like across a row. Like all these cores on the same like row, they will have like the same data packet, and they can forward it to each other. And this is useful because like in these AI type of applications, like convolutions and matmos, you typically have a lot of data reuse. So when you parallelize across multiple tiles, they basically, a lot of those tiles will need the same data. And instead of like loading that data again and again to like from DDR, like shared memory or whatever, to those tiles, you can basically forward it from like one tile to another, so they all have the same data. And that's called like data broadcasting. So you can go horizontally, you can go vertically, you can go like down, you can go up, And you can do things like this, for example, like you can share across different columns that are not like next to each other. For example, here you have column 1 and column 3 that will basically share data, and column 2 and column 4 that will share like different data. And all these kind of routing configurations are part of like this boot PDI, or you can also do it later on. But basically it's a configuration that you will describe to get this behavior where certain tiles will collaborate on like the same data, or partially the same data, of course. So then another piece of it is like the core program. It's basically for a vector processor and a scalar processor that each core has. And that's like a typical, like it's a very long instruction board processor. And that's a typical, like what you target with LLVM, for example. And you just compile an ELF, load it into each tile, and each tile will start executing that program, but it will expect that the data somehow already is locally on those tiles, which you can reach by using these connections that we program. So not all these tiles need to have the same ELF, like each of those tiles could have like a completely different program, and that way like collaborate in fancy ways with each other. And then lastly, we have like the microcontroller, which will basically program the data connections into the array and basically say which addresses on DDR you're getting like which data from. Looking at the core, we have like a vector processor, scalar processor. We have some local memory, 64 kilobytes. And then around that we have like stream connections. So we have like some horizontal, some vertical streams. In this case, for example, vertically we have 6 32-bit north channels and 4 32-bit like south channels. So basically a little bit more data bandwidth going up than going down. Typically we need more data bandwidth going up. But yeah, important to remember is that this gives us around like 24 gigabytes of bandwidth like into each column, which I will get back to later on. We also have like the memory tiles. So the streams are similar. We have some north streams, some south streams, some east, some west. But now instead of cores, we just have like some banks of memory and some DMAs. Like we have 6 DMAs to write into it. We have 6 DMAs to read from it. And those DMAs can do like some fancy high dimensional reading with a single instruction. So basically here we have like some DMA, some stream to memory DMA. So it writes into some bank in like a strided fashion. So for example, here we'll have like on the blue tiles, you'll see like 4 contiguous tiles being written. Then we have a jump. We write another 4 tiles. We have another larger jump, and we write another like 8 tiles. And this can be done with like a single instruction, and like in this way, DMA can basically reformat data while we're moving it, like while we're reading it or while we're writing it. It can reformat this data into like a packed data layout, which is very friendly for the vector processor. So by the time this data gets to the vector processor will just load like a large block of data into its registers, and it doesn't have to do like any reformatting because that's already done like by these DMAs. So here I show a similar thing, but how we describe it in MLIR. So basically, you would expect like some copy kind of construct that can move data from some memory to another memory, from DDR to shared memory, from shared memory to local memory, local to local, local to shared, and so on. And that's exactly what we do, but we also need like a transpose kind of operation. And so it happens that in MLIR, when we start looking at this, there was already this construct, which is a pack operation, which is basically like a copy and like a transposition. And we use this copy and transposition to basically describe like these DMA operations that they copy data from like one memory to another. And then we transform those into like our own dialect, which is this AMD AIE, DMA copy ND. So it's basically the same thing where we're saying we have a DMA, we have a source, we have a destination, and we have a certain way of like addressing on the source and a certain higher dimensional addressing on the destination. Now looking at a gem tiling problem. So the question is, if we have a gem problem, how do we map it to this array? And there's different ways that you can do this. For example, suppose we have the entire inner dimension that we're going across. Like for example, we divide the M and the N, the two, the A, B, into like slices. but we take the entire inner dimension for each slice. So we have A1, A2, B1, B2, and we have to compute the products of those. Now, this we can do by, for example, mapping this, like we can parallelize this by mapping this to like four cores, and like each of those cores will get like an entire slice with like a full inner dimension of A and a full inner dimension of B, so they can compute like the actual output and then send it out. And this works if like your entire slice A1, B1 and so on fit into local memory, and if it doesn't, then you kind of have to split that up as well. So then we get here, basically we split it across the K dimension as well. And now these tiles will not be computing like the actual output result, but they will be computing like some partial output result and store it locally, potentially send it out or keep it there locally, and then you will send like kind of the next batch of data. We can do this another way as well. So instead of like keeping it locally and sending the next batch of data, you can forward it to the next tile. So in this case, you will have some streams, which I showed earlier in the slides, that will go like down from like one core to another. And basically you can forward your partial result to the next tile, which will kind of compute like the complete output result. And then you can keep that locally, do some other operation on it, like some softmax, some adding something to it, or you can send it out through the output streams. Here showing the outer product again. In the rest of the slides, I'll just be concentrating on like the outer product, not like the inner product where we forward to another tile. Here, basically, we'll be forwarding slices and parallelize it across an array of tiles, but no like forwarding. Like every slice will stay local until, and that core will keep repeating the matmul on those slices until it has the output result. Like no sharing between tiles, but that is possible. So how we describe that in MLAR is, for example, like this. We tile the loops, and eventually we end up with like some inner loop, this SCF4O, which goes from 0 to 2. So basically we're describing, we have two dimensions, we're describing an array of a 2x2 array. And that is because you here have this core mapping in the y direction and the x direction. It's basically saying that we have two dimensions, one's y, one x, and each is 2, goes from 0 to 2, so basically a 2x2 array. And there, then we have these DMA copy NDs that we saw earlier, which describe copying data from like these mem tiles to these AIE tiles. And depending on like this affine expression, which depends on like the induction variables, which are mapped in vertically or horizontally, it will basically say which data slice from this shared memory needs to go to which tile. And this affine expression, because it depends on both the induction variables, like each tile will basically have like a different slice. Like one tile will have A1, B1, the other A2, B2, A3, B3, and A4, B4. And if you calculate that and see what the bandwidth is, the average bandwidth needed into each column, it's around like 16 gigabytes bandwidth at 1 gigahertz. And if we go back to like the streams that we have available, you see that we have 24 gigabytes available going north. We're needing 16, but the problem is that we're about only looking like two rows. And we have another two rows on top of that. So if we double the bandwidth in for this configuration, we need like 32 gigabytes of bandwidth, which we don't have available. We only have 24, so we can't run like at full speed. So we can find a solution for that. Like we use more data broadcasting. In this example, like we again have the same loop, the same SCF4O, the same mapping in the Y and the X direction. But those DMA copy NDs, they don't depend on like the affine expression of both induction variables. They basically just depend on the induction variable, which means that like A1 will be shared across the rows, B1 will be shared across the columns, B2 as well. And so you get this like a full outer product of A1, A2, B1, B2. And this results in around like 8 gigabytes per second of bandwidth needed into each column. If we double that to 16, we're well within like the 24 we have available. Another configuration here where we can, for example, if A is small, like it's a vector, and like B is a matrix, we do vector matrix multiplication. Like you can broadcast A to like all the cores in this 2x2 array and send a different B to each core and combine those. We need 10 gigabytes bandwidth. This will still work out if we scale to like a four rows. Adding dimensions, so if we add another two columns to it, like we can even more efficiently like share data, resulting in like only 6 gigabytes of bandwidth on average needed into the column. Important is this average, because you can actually do the routing. You could route this in the wrong way, where like all the bandwidth goes through like a single column, and basically you end up still in trouble. But if you do this well, then like on average you only need like 6 gigabytes of data. Here, similar thing, we get to 6 gigabytes of data bandwidth that we need, but only using like two dimensions. So here you saw we added another dimension to achieve this configuration. We can get like a similar bandwidth using two dimensions as well by like permuting the dimensions. And now we can add blocks as well. So we can add like another SCF for all as well. So now we have like nested SCF for all loops, and this is like how we tile and then eventually map it to like cores and to blocks in certain directions. And here you can have like, we again have like two rows, four columns, but like each of those two columns, like two sets of two columns, they behave independently. And that's because of like this block mapping. So we're basically doing like similar computations on each of those columns, getting to an average of the 8 gigabytes of bandwidth. So this works out. And that's useful, for example, if you want to do partitioning.